What is the emoji? Those little figurines that you can text. What's the emoji that you really think the world needs? Well, this week on Download This Show, the Unicode Consortium, the people behind emojis, yes, they have their own parliament, want to hear from you. Plus, Snapchat is alive and well, even if losers like me don't use it. And how will Netflix handle its big new competitors? All of that and much more coming up. This is your guide to the week in media, technology and culture. My name is Mark Fennell, and welcome to Download This Show. Yes, indeed, it is a brand new episode of Download This Show. Mark Fennell is continueth my name. That was weird. Will you please welcome to the show? He's the news editor for CNET, Daniel Van Boom.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Guten Tag. I'm well. How are you?
I'm good.
Sick.
I promised myself I wouldn't make your introduction weird, but I just can't stop
it's
myself.
It's really my fault. It takes two to tango.
I'm blaming you. Anyway, alongside Daniel Van Boom, we have the editor of Junkie, Ray Johnson. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
Are Netflix in trouble?
Nah.
No,
nah.
Probably not. But there has been news out this week that they haven't necessarily attained the lofty goals that they promised.
Yeah, Netflix thought they were going to get 5 million new subscribers this quarter. Turns out they only got 2.7 million new subscribers.
I mean, what a failure.
What a colossal failure. They are predicting 7 million new subscribers in the next quarter, though. They're blaming a few things for this, and I think it's pretty reasonable. The one thing they're not blaming, I think, is even more interesting, though. They're blaming the price increases that have come about in a few markets around the world, and also a bit of drab content was the quote, which I...
Did they name and shame what they thought their drab content was?
Like, I think it was more a lack of content in regards, as opposed to, like, criticising specific content.
Because I reckon that Christmas Prince franchise is...
Enough to turn you off?
Not good.
Just not
I mean, I
it.
Wouldn't unsubscribe, but...
Just not having it in the Fennell household.
It's not my bag.
Yeah.
Please address your complaint to fennell.mark@abc.net.au. Okay, so thing that they're not blaming, though, is the fact that there's about to be heaps of competitors. Is that
right?
Where you were going to go with that?
Exactly. And they've taken all the Marvel with them. So, yeah, we've seen the systemic axing of all the Marvel shows, which have been pretty successful for Netflix, I think it's fair to say.
Although, who can say, though? This is the thing, because they don't give out real numbers.
Right. Mm. So we're just kind of guessing. But I'm going to guess that Disney taking Marvel back and them also losing Friends. Weirdly, a lot of people still watch Friends. They make the decision to scroll through their Netflix and open up an episode of a 20-year-old, highly problematic television show. But that's gone too.
So let's wrap some context around this. We've alluded to it, but in the next couple of months, we will see the launch of real competitors run by pretty much big media conglomerates that used to be studios. So we'll have Time Warner will launch. This is all in the US, and ultimately these things will probably filter out around the world. Time Warner will launch HBO Max, which will take in all of the Warner Brothers stuff. So it's not just HBO. It'll have Friends, amongst other things like that. Disney will launch Disney Plus, which will not just be Disney. It'll be Star Wars. The Marvel product will move back over to their dedicated platform. They've already announced shows like Loki, what's the other one? The Falcon and the...
Yeah.
I sat and watched a whole panel at Comic-Con and I'm just like, this is like too much intellectual property for me to consume in one... Like too many people with capes and pecs. I can't deal with this.
Never enough capes and pecs.
Wow, that's your memoir title. Sort of there. And then, of course, Apple will have their streaming service as well. So the notion is that there's going to be a lot more competition, well-resourced, with a really deep bank of content that will probably move subscribers. And ultimately, I think it probably comes down to this question of, does Netflix have, as the last few years they've moved to this strategy of like originals, does Netflix have enough intellectual property, enough hits in its current form to be able to compete in this category that they pretty much created?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was a big hubbub when The Office is going to go back to NBC's streaming platform, and everyone's like mad about that as well in America. Obviously, we lost The Office a long time ago, which is very painful for me.
You want a hug?
Sorry.
I'm here for you, buddy. You want a hug?
Thank you. You already fixed my collar. Yeah. Well, the thing is, Netflix doesn't really need to compete as much as retain its users. And it's kind of sexy to blame the competitors to be, But I actually do think, and Netflix said one of the main reasons they gave, so in America, not only did they not gain subscribers, which they thought they were going to do, they lost 120,000-ish subscribers. And they said a large part of that was the price hikes. So they hiked the price of their main category, $2, which to me, I'm like, that's not even a coffee. Is that really that big a deal? But in January, like a trade publication did a survey, and they found that like 25% of their readers said, if they hike the price, like I could probably cancel. Mm-hmm. And in June, another trade publication did a survey, and they also found about 25% of people saying like, it's probably too expensive now. So like, I think the reality is people just don't want to spend an extra $2, which is a really boring reality, but that's what we got.
Mm. Well, I think you probably got to take into account the cumulative effect too, because if there's about to be five of these things that you can get when you include all the other ones that I didn't mention as well.
But do you think you'd cancel in anticipation?
No. Actually, that's a very good point. I'm not sure that I would.
Yeah, I wouldn't cancel in anticipation. I probably would cancel if I saw what was becoming a bit of a slippery slope to being charged well above what I felt like the value was.
Mm.
And I'm not sure, look, I'm not sure that the things that they're spruiking as being the reason that they're going to achieve this, you know, 7 million subscriber bump in the next quarter are really the draw cards they think they are. We're looking at the final season of Orange is the New Black, which yes, there obviously is a strong viewer base there. But when that season's over, then what? And The Crown?
Like, mate, they do not be negging The Crown. That show nearly turned me into a monarchist, seriously.
but honestly, like when you look at the universal appeal of things like doing a massive Marvel movie marathon in the correct chronological order with your family over a series of weekends, like I've clearly been doing.
Very specific.
Right? Being able to do that or watching The Crown. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you think about their, obviously, as you alluded to before, their business model in the last few years has been debt
yeah.
to get a bunch of original content, and eventually they'll lower how much they spend on content, and they'll have this catalog of their own stuff. But it feels like when Netflix started, they had a bunch of like hits after hits.
Yeah.
But really, the hit to ratio, like when I go on Netflix, like the amount of things I flick through and just think, I know about that, compared to things that actually make people watch, like your Stranger Things, House of Cards, etc.
Yeah, I think those big category-defining hits are becoming fewer and far between, because I think the competition for them has gotten high. I was just thinking about this the other day. Like, one of the services we often tend not to put in this category, but we probably should, is Amazon. And they've become really bullish in the last couple of years about buying up things with, like, big, recognizable intellectual property. So of course the
Good Omens is so good.
But even that, like the new Star Trek series, and the last one went globally, Star Trek Discovery, was on Netflix. The new one, which I suspect will be bigger because it's built around Patrick Stewart's character, Jean-Luc Picard, who was on TV for many, many decades. That's going to Amazon. There's their version of The Lord of the Rings.
Yep.
Even something slightly more niche like The Expanse. Like, you know, we do know that sci-fi fans are quite willing to pay for things. And I suspect that will pay off for Amazon as well. So and then when you look at the other end of things, like what Disney have, and just the sheer amount of commissionable content that they have, a proper Star Wars TV series, Marvel TV series being done on the same scale as they dominate box office. I mean, that for at least, you know, maybe not all audiences, but that starts to get really hard to compete with, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Especially when you're just turning on, you know, that slumlord tenants and landlords show for the 50th time because you can't find anything else that you want to watch.
Sorry.
What
is this terrible reality show that you are watching that nobody else is?
You know that I watch the most garbage reality television shows in existence, right?
And I choose not to judge you because it seems like the right thing to do. But in this exact moment, I'm judging.
Look, it's a way to switch your brain off. Oh, look, it's one of those shows where it's like, look at these living conditions that people are forced to live in, and look at these tenants that haven't paid their rent in 6 months, and now we've got to go kick them out. And of course, it's set in England, and it's just wonderful.
Oh, really? I had that pitched as an American show.
No, this is peak British television, peak British reality TV.
I thought you were going to say peak British classism.
Hey, that too.
I was also going to say the other component is, as a parent of two small children, knowing where the specific show, particularly Disney, where the specific Disney products live, mm-hmm. is going to be a huge decider for people. Be very interesting to see what happens with, because Stan obviously have the rights to much of, although crucially not all of, Disney's back catalogue.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see what happens as Disney rolls out Disney Plus around the world, what an organisation like Stan looks like, and where their sort of their bulk of their content comes from. We shall see. Are you a person that likes to send messages with emojis, Daniel Van Boom?
Yes.
Are there emojis that you wish existed?
Kind of. There's one emoji which exists, but it's bad. The hug emoji is so... It's like...
The which one?
The hug emoji.
Oh, okay, you know
it's
what?
It's like that.
We weren't going to discuss this, but let's. Okay, so the hug emoji, if you've never seen it, it's a face with two hands. It actually should be jazz hands,
yes,
the emoji.
Yes,
oh,
yes.
Yeah. Is that... For hugging,
yeah,
that
for
is
hugging.
Supposed to be. Because I assumed that was like a back off.
Well, no, you would
smiling.
Be correct in thinking that because that
yeah,
is what it
I
looks
smile
like.
I smile when I'm telling people back to back off too.
Yeah, it's like a very polite, like its vision's based on movement. If I move slowly backwards,
yeah,
you can't tell. This game works better visually.
It does. But I'm a huge fan of hugs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird thing to say on radio, but
it's not the weirdest thing
it's not
you've
the
said
weirdest.
On radio.
It's certainly not. No. I regularly wish that I could express my feelings about hugs better than through an emoji, that emoji. I mean,
well,
there are obviously.
World Emoji Day was last week. I know, we all missed it. But as part of that, the Unicode Consortium, which is the organisation that decides what is an official emoji, have decided to make it slightly easier for you to propose your own emoji. How so, Ray Johnston?
They've redesigned their ancient website.
Because it was like really old.
It was like early 2000s, like two-toned, complicated all over the place, rabbit hole of links, and was really quite difficult to work out where you needed to go and what requirements were needed to be met in order for, you know, an emoji idea to be submitted. They've redesigned it. They got some Adobe designers to give them a hand, and this is really them saying to the general public, we want your ideas. You know, they release 70 new emojis every year.
Yeah.
We want your ideas. We're running out. let us
really
know what you want
to
use.
It's interesting to see when they add new emojis. I'm always fascinated because, like, the last round they added a whole bunch of things that were really specific to Indian culture, which
yeah.
I thought was fascinating because obviously there's a huge uptick in the amount of mobile usage and internet communication in the world's largest democracy. From my point of view, I guess I find it fascinating because I look at the announcement of new emojis as a sort of a litmus test for where the internet, the internet society is going. It's a long bow, I know, but I'm fascinated by silly things. What are the emojis that you think we really need, Ray?
There's been a big push for a long time to include the Aboriginal flag.
Mm.
And you see a lot of petitions going up all over the place, a lot of people, you know, specifically petitioning Apple to do this without realising that this is the way that you need to go in order to do that. I would love to see that obviously happening. However, we're in a kind of an interesting place with the Aboriginal flag at the moment.
Because it's sort of subject to a bit of a legal debate.
Yeah, the commercial rights to the Aboriginal flag have been sold to a clothing company that now owns the digital rights as well.
I did not know this.
Yeah, so they've actually been contacting a lot of Aboriginal businesses. This is a non-Aboriginal company that has purchased these rights and telling them that they need to cease and desist sale of their clothing. And this has extended to them reaching out to athletes that are displaying the Aboriginal flag on their workout gear, on their, you know, what do you call when athletes
active
wear the,
wear.
On their active wear. To remove the flag. And there is a big push from the community to say, hey, this is not something that you should be doing.
And that would definitely stand in the way of an Indigenous flag
well,
emoji, presumably.
This is the thing. We don't quite know because we don't know how far these rights actually extend and what lengths this company is willing to go to cease the use of the Aboriginal flag by the Aboriginal people.
There's a lot of emojis that I use that sort of edge into like commercial intellectual property that you end up seeing a lot on Twitter. Maybe they don't qualify as official emojis though. So like when Avengers Endgame comes out, there's like a dedicated Avengers emoji. I assume that's a Twitter thing, not a Unicode thing.
That is a dedicated Twitter thing, and that, you know, it's kind of one of Twitter's deals that they do. You know, you want to sponsor
We're still
some
relevant,
things,
not just a den for trolls.
Hey,
look.
Marvel, do you want your special emoji? You can do it on Twitter.
I love that's your Twitter voice.
That's how Jack talks when he does speak.
Right. Yeah. And people say there's no insight on the show. Really. What is the mechanism? Like, just going through the new website, what is the mechanism with which you can tell them, you like, can you submit a design? Can you just say, I want something for this?
Yeah.
Because so it's a bit of a process in getting a new emoji approved.
Yeah, it is. So you basically click through and you say, hey, I want an emoji that represents this. You can submit a design, or you can kind of leave it up to them to decipher what that means if it's something that's, you know, reasonably recognizable. But there are parameters that it needs to meet. It can't be anything too completely specific. Obviously, you know, specific culturally is perfectly fine, but specific to you as a person, I don't know if that's going to get through.
Yeah, so I'm just here on the website, which I must say, even though it has been redesigned, it's still fugly.
Look, it's still not great, but it's easier, which is saying something, really.
Yeah, so as part of it, you've got to submit, obviously, a title for it. You can submit sample images as well. What would be the keywords for it? And I think there's some inclusion here about why you think it should be included. Yeah. Does it break new ground? Can it be used in multiple contexts? Mm. That sort of stuff. So, yeah, if you are considering, like the people in the studio today, if there is an emoji that you would like, you can go to unicode.org/emoji/proposals.html. Wow.
Wow.
Read out a URL on the radio. Wow. It's been a real downward slide for me today. Now, for many years now on this program, we've made jokes about Snapchat being a thing that we don't understand, for we are old. When I say we, I mean very much me. Turns out Snapchat, the one-time ephemeral messaging service that we thought was dead because Kylie Jenner tweeted that it was dead one time, not dead.
Not dead.
No.
So Snapchat, we thought, was in its, you know, final decline.
Not dead yet.
It was down to 185 million active users.
I mean, it's just embarrassing.
It's just, you know, why would you want to admit that?
I mean, 185 million.
You could barely fill 100 million football stadiums with that.
Right?
I know. But shameful.
It's coming back. It's up to 203 million active users in the last quarter.
So it's done the opposite of what Netflix has done.
And it's done it by doing something that is incredibly smart, and I highly recommend to anyone who is running any kind of business.
Aim at teenagers.
They're focused in on who their users are, and they've catered to them rather than trying to appeal to literally everybody.
So you're saying by ignoring old people like me, they've managed to achieve great monetary success.
Absolutely. And they made $388 million last quarter.
Let that be a lesson to you. Ignore Mark Fennell. Make profit. So when you say targeting an audience, I'm joking, but it literally, it's like, we're doing, we're talking about they're aiming at sort of teenagers, literally.
Yeah, definitely. Snapchat claims that 90% of American teenagers use their service. That's definitely not on a daily basis, I'm sure. I'm sure there's some like vague time period.
Have used at some point?
Have
heard of the brand.
Yeah, exactly.
Have downloaded it.
Have downloaded it.
I reckon they'd be using those figures.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
But Pew Research released a study in April, and they found that around 75% of the youths use it on
a
regular basis.
Thank you for making me seem cool. Thanks to you.
No worries. Did I make you seem more cool with that, or the yelling about hugs thing? I'm kind of on a roll today. You should invite me back. I'm great.
So anyway.
I don't know. Like, the thing with, I kind of have the opposite feeling about Snapchat as I do with Netflix. Like, I don't think Netflix having a bad quarter is representative of a huge fall, but also I don't think that Snapchat having a good quarter is representative of now, like, this huge incline. Like, because I've been thinking about this. Like, Snapchat really doesn't have a utility. You know what I mean? Like, I've tried to quit Facebook, but I did quit Facebook for, like, a month. It was a great month. And then I had to organize friends' box party, so I, like, went on there to, I had to, like, reactivate my account. But I can't imagine, like, Snapchat, I guess, it relies on all your friends being on it, right? But outside of that, like, there really is little utility. And even a big part of the reason why they had more users was because of the gender swap facing.
Yeah. Can you just explain that for people?
Yeah. So, like, Snapchat kind of became famous for the filters. Everyone knows the dog filter, things of that nature.
So this is where you could see a picture of yourself and then sort of overlay.
Yeah. Tens of millions of people downloaded the app because you could do a filter that made you look like the opposite gender. But the thing with that is that, like, on paper, they can say, look, we got 10 million new people downloaded. But it's like, you download it, you do that, and you're like, cool. what do I do now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you need a constant stream of those. If that is the number one reason why people are signing up, you need a constant stream of those filters. You could mount the argument that a company like Netflix has the exact same problem. You need a constant stream of new surprising hits in order for you to justify the expense of a streaming service, right?
It's a lot easier to bring out a new filter than it is to bring out a new television series, though. So I think Netflix has got a bit of a bigger challenge on their hands. But it's interesting, Daniel, you're talking about it not really having a utility that you need to go back to. I feel like that's just for us, though, because as the editor of a youth media publication and also the owner of a youth.
I'm going to endorse you on LinkedIn.
I'm a mother.
I will endorse you for youth.
As a mother of a teenager, that's how they communicate. They're communicating on Snapchat every day. If they uninstall Snapchat from their phone, they're not talking to their friends. They're not messaging their friends.
But what about a lot of the functionality of that Instagram has now, particularly with things like stories, is stolen from Snapchat?
Yes.
So why would said youth... Mm-hmm. We've said the word youth more time. I was on Triple J for 11 years. I never said the word youth as many times as I have in the show.
You're welcome.
Why would youth not use that over Snapchat? Like,
I think that there's just a bit of an appeal to Snapchat that identifies it as a place where your parents definitely aren't. Fact. Your family might be on Instagram, you know. You don't want to be on the same platform that your uncool mum is. You really don't. And look, Snapchat still has that kind of, you know, disappearing message coolness to it
that you don't
really get on the other platforms as well. So, and I think it just really firmly established itself as a place where you could message your friends. Everyone has it and they just haven't left.
Like I would say though, like, and as a disclaimer, I do not own a youth. I am not particularly conversant with the youths. But like,
what is this?
Is it too far to say that like the young people market is like a fickle market? I mean, if you're talking about literally like Kylie Jenner tweets like, "Oh, Snapchat's lame now," and that causes a tangible drop in like users and usership.
Yeah, I should say, like, we were joking about Kylie Jenner before, but for context, that's what happened. Yeah, Kylie Jenner, very famous member of the Kardashian clan, she tweeted like, "Does anyone use this thing anymore?" And there was like, it was a drop in their stock market. I've heard of influencers being able to sell things. I haven't heard of influencers being able to like take a chunk out of a company's market.
Yeah. I think it's also important to recognise that there is a large chunk of youth that also do not care what Kylie Jenner does.
Yeah, for sure.
One would hope.
So, and they are literally just using it for its functionality, for its filters, you know, for all the fun stuff and as a place where they communicate with friends.
Do you think its continued success is basically just the fact that it is a space just for youths and mum and dad aren't there, whereas gradually mum and dad and aunts and uncles have infiltrated Instagram and the future of Instagram looks very similar to something like Facebook where it becomes part of the furniture but not the primary means with which I express thine self?
Sure.
Sure. Yeah, it's been a...
And you laughed at me for saying conversant with youths.
It's been a really strange episode, hasn't it?
But yeah, I do agree. I think it's going to be really difficult for Instagram to differentiate itself from Facebook in any meaningful way in the coming years as they continue to share, you know, functionality and ideas, and Instagram kind of becomes a testbed for whatever happens on Facebook. Whereas Snapchat's always going to be isolated from all of that, and it's always going to be, you know, another app that the older generations couldn't be bothered learning, downloading, dealing with. So I think it's pretty walled off and safe. And I think Snap's done a pretty clever thing in recognizing who their users are and catering to them, giving them more filters.
There's been a few sort of, I guess you'd call them bum steers, and I guess every big tech company, let's go with that, has had one of those. I'm still deeply fascinated by Snap's spectacles. Does anyone remember that?
Yes.
So these were the round glasses where you could take photos and it would go straight to your phone and you could actually create 3D environments using these glasses. It's a very simplified version of it. I tried one out once when I met a Snapchat person and I remember going, "This is cool." I'm never using it.
And they were bright yellow.
Well, fluoro is in. Millennial pink is in.
Oh, Mark, did you use them? Very last year.
Is it? Oh, I don't know.
I don't know what the colours are anymore. I have no idea. What is Pantone's colour of the year? I don't know.
I feel like this has become like a sharing space for people that feel like they are past their prime.
Hey.
I feel like I am past my prime. Fine. You are still prime ready.
Thank you.
Yeah, but in terms of Snap, it did look really bad for a period of time. Is this just a case of them staying the course?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's a matter of opinion. Their stock hit $17, which is around the price of their IPO stock, but in December, thereabouts, it was at $5. So they're definitely much healthier now. I know, again, like there are a lot of like more boring reasons as to why Snap is doing better now. Like they restructured their management team. They introduced a new suite of tools for advertisers and boring stuff like that.
They rebuilt their Android app as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But I personally think that like the trend, especially, I mean, Facebook is kind of this. In countries like Japan and India and South Korea, there's the trend, and China, the trend of the super app, where, you know, it's like an app that has an ecosystem of everything. And Snap is kind of the exact opposite of that to me. That could be its strength, but to me, it feels a bit like an empire built on sand. But maybe that's just me.
I mean, all social media platforms feel like an empire built on sand to
absolutely
a point.
True.
Right?
That's true.
Yeah.
When I'm glad you brought up advertising. How does advertising on Snapchat work? Like, who does it well? Are there good examples of it that you can imagine?
I don't use Snapchat anymore, so I haven't, like...
Because you aged out of the demo.
Well, yeah.
I'm choking. Don't look so dejected. Jesus.
Hey, Mark.
You're still very... I was about to say virile. I meant young. This is getting weird.
I think I know Condé Nast does a lot of advertising on Snapchat, which is interesting because they do magazines like The New Yorker, Wired, I think Vanity Fair, and there's another one that I'm missing, but it's like...
They also own Reddit as well.
Sorry?
They also own Reddit as well.
Do they?
Yeah.
Amazing. Hmm. but like, are 18-year-olds really into The New Yorker? I don't know.
Well, I'm sure the basis of Condé Nast's business is significantly older than that, so you would want to get on board with,
yeah, true.
I'm going to say it again.
The youths.
Do you think Snap is a business built on sand? Do you think their future is bright?
I reckon they're doing okay. I reckon they'll plod along for a little while. I think they'll continue to see where their strengths are and build on that. I think that's the smart thing to do. I think any death rattles of Snapchat have been sufficiently sated for the period. It's always fun, I think, to say, ha ha, it's going to fail, bye, it's going to be like MySpace. But I don't know. I think while it's serving its users and doing what they want it to do, it's going to continue to be okay.
We shall see. Ray Johnson from Junkie, thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Daniel Van Boom.
Thank you.
How traumatized are you on a scale of 1 to 10?
Oh, no, I'm fine. Are you traumatized about my talk of the youths?
A little bit.
I was promised a hug, though.
Yeah, you'll get that hug.
Sick.
If you enjoyed the show, make sure you leave a review on whichever podcasting app you are lucky enough to be listening to us on right now, even if that app is actually a radio. We thank you. My name has been and will probably continue to be Mark Fennell. I'll catch you next time on Download This Show.